Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Hey, where are you going? What the hell was that?
I saw your dad get married.
Oh, and you thought perfect time to announce our future life.
This morning you said that you wanted to be together.
And right now I'm changing my mind. Ashley, are you okay? I will be. As soon as Craig leaves.
You are everything, Ash.
Craig, I want you to go home now.
There you go.
That's right. Welcome back to another episode of Narbos and Broomheads. I'm Ted. And who was that? That was the convoy himself.
It was the convoy. It was great. Yeah.
Great big, as it may. Yeah, welcome everybody.
Hi, Jack.
Bye, Jack. Okay. See you, Jack.
He's back. Let's her introduce it. We are live. Who is the hoe from Ontario town, home of the convoy currently? Who's his big mama on the CB radio?
Did you guys start without me?
Yes.
We are rolling just like that Freedom Convoy, boy.
Hey, thank God you guys have your freedom to start whenever you want.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm trucking for. Hi, I'm Courtney. I am sitting in an 18-wheeler right now, waiting for freedom.
It's coming.
It's coming. I can feel it.
I really hope this news is ancient history by the time this airs.
It probably will be.
I've heard enough this week about the fucking Freedom Convoy.
I was listening to our latest episode, and I just really chuckled at the whole snowstorm thing, Alan, when you advised me of the snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, this won't make sense in 2 weeks when everybody listened to it. And I listened to it, and I was like, yeah, this didn't make sense.
Yep.
And it made me laugh. Okay, that's all I have to say.
I'm Alan in Toronto. Hi, everybody. I will say, so just so everybody knows, we record our episodes a couple at a time. So we're recording this on the 28th of January, but you're not going to hear it for about 10 days from now. And so we are still awaiting the fallout from this stupid fucking truck convoy that has made their way to Ottawa. So we're a week later, so maybe we should speculate. It's like, are they still sitting around downtown Ottawa blocking traffic? Do we have freedom now? Maybe they got us the freedom that we're looking for. Did they storm Parliament Hill? Were there hate speeches and rallies?
The Canadian edition.
Yeah.
Storming Parliament Hill when Parliament is not in session and fucking nobody's there?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So who knows which one it is, but one of those outcomes. I mean, or maybe they were just like, they had, maybe they had a regular little protest rally and then they all drove their trucks home, which it's a possibility.
I have a quick question for Courtney about Parliament Hill.
Yes.
And to people who don't know about it, it might sound fake, but is the colony of cats still there?
Yeah, that's a topic.
Have they moved?
So I cannot answer that.
I can. They're gone. No cats.
Okay. Yeah. I'm worried about them. So I was worried if the truckers stormed Parliament Hill that the cats would get trampled or something.
No, they're gone.
Or kitties. Okay, they've been moved. Got it.
Yeah, there's like massive construction going on in Parliament Hill, and it will be for like the next 10 fucking years. So yeah, I'm pretty sure the cat colony is moved.
I mean, that's kind of sad because it was kind of a neat thing that our nation's capital had, which for those who don't know was a feral cat colony that lived behind Parliament Hill. And that's true.
Fun fact about construction on our, so Parliament is basically like, you know, like the federal government buildings in Canada. The Peace Tower is kind of like the baby brother of Big Ben, if you're kind of trying to picture it. I went to Ottawa for the first time in 1996, and I lived in Ottawa for 3 years, and it wasn't until I visited again somewhere around 2010, the first time that I saw Parliament Hill with no construction. Like, the first time I went, the Peace Tower was being renovated. The 3 years I lived there, the fucking library was being renovated. Finally saw it all, and now they're doing more construction.
Now Centre Block is out of commission for like 10 years, so yeah. There really is no point for anybody to come and visit Parliament Hill as a tourist because you can't do anything.
Yeah, it's great.
Go home, truckers. That's our point, right?
For American listeners, Parliament Hill is like Capitol Hill, right?
Yeah.
In yes, England. And they there are some of the protests are trying to mimic the Capitol Hill insurrection. So woohoo!
Yeah, it's great.
All you're going to find is a fucking, like, forklift lift operator if you break in. But go for it.
Empty feral cat colony.
Well, so the cats have been gone for a long time. They were replaced with raccoons. And now there's nothing. So, yeah.
Which are nature's cat. Uh-huh. That doesn't really make any sense.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. We don't have raccoons here. Zero raccoons. The only raccoons that I'm down with is Bert and the evergreen forest.
Uh-huh.
You're like, I don't remember any of the other names.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Melissa is the sister. And
she's the sexy one with the tank top.
And Cyril Sneer. I just remember Cyril Sneer.
Yeah, Cyril Sneer, but I can't remember. Ralph, was it? Ralph was the brother.
That intro was like a jam. Like, it was, it's a catchy cartoon intro. Yes. Yes!
Fun fact, that is Run With Us by Lisa Loheed. That record... on 45 is very, very hard to get and quite expensive, and I have it, and it may be thanks to Sarah.
Wow.
So there you go.
Adorable.
Do you have an Instagram clip of that record?
Probably somewhere, but I can put it up again.
What was that Wheel of Fortune clip you had today?
It's not a Wheel of Fortune clip. My slip mat is Wheel of Fortune themed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So there
For those listeners that don't know what we were talking about just then, it's a cartoon called The Raccoons. And if you haven't seen it, you can look it up.
Yeah, it's Canadian. It's kind of like the Canadian version. Remember that show? Or I guess it's another Canadian show, right? Smoggies?
Smoggies was like Belgian.
Was it
like
Belgian?
That. I don't think it was Canadian. It was like European or something. But yeah, it was kind of like, it was a cartoon that had like, environmental undertones, basically.
Yeah, the bad guys wanted to tear down the forest where the raccoons lived, basically. So it's great. Anyways, this is a Degrassi.
Is it? Yeah.
Let's start the show. Bum, bum, bum. Okay, jumping in. So we are at Voices Carry Part 2. Can you... Oh, my goodness. This episode was so nice. They did it twice, and this is the second part of this beauty of an episode. Writer Sean Raycraft and director Phil Earnshaw and Sean Raycraft out there. You're like, is that the guy who wrote for Braceface? And you're right. He did. You remember that cartoon? Anybody out there?
I do not.
A little bit?
Even a little bit.
Oh, no. Courtney, you going to save me here?
Yes, save you.
Okay. All right. No Braceface fans out there. The air date in Canada was November 9th, 2004, but it was not until March 4th of 2005 that it played down south with our American friends. We're ready to jump in, right? We've already agreed on that, correct?
Yeah, we talked about the song last week by Till Tuesday. Go back and listen if you want to know about it.
Yeah.
I actually didn't share any information, so anyways.
Now, one thing that's continuing that you will hear about again is we open the show on a very sweaty Craig, and he's a Craiger who's extremely disheveled. So the sweat factor has, like, it's through the roof. The now, moisture on this man.
Do you think there was a stagehand that just had, like, a spray bottle?
I seriously was wondering, because they did a pretty good job at making him sweaty. Now, I apologize.
Jake seems sweaty guy. We don't know.
Is the sweat part of the mental illness, or is it just because he's just so energetic?
I mean, it's probably the energy level because of the mental illness is causing him to sweat.
Okay.
Gonna make you sweat, Craiger.
Love that song. Brings back memories.
Emotions can make you sweat too. Like, you can stress sweat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a combination.
Mm-hmm.
My husband is the worst stress sweater that I've ever met in my entire life.
That's great. Shout out to Drew.
He doesn't, like, he barely sweats any other time, but, like, when he's nervous, he's just like, it's incredible.
So Craiger is bouncing the engagement ring on the table and contemplating whatever he's contemplating in the ruins of the hotel room. Phone rings. It's Ashley, who's at the wedding, and Craig is annoyed that she shot him down and won't get married to him. But she gives him a well, someday, which translates to a yes. And Craig is very happy.
Ish. It's a yes-ish, although she doesn't say that. She says yes, but we all know that someday means ish.
And we have the opening, whatever it takes.
So, you know, quick thing, just a quick recap of the previous episode. Craig and Ashley are back together, and it's Ashley's father's wedding, and Craig is getting progressively more interesting in his behavior, we'll say. Him and Ashley bang. He proposes. She rightfully is like, what? Though that's not exactly what she says. And Craig pitches a fit and trashes his hotel room. And that's kind of where we come back to it. So,
and then we have, after the opening, we have Marco meeting Craig at the Dot. Marco comes in looking like a 70s porn star with those glasses. Good job, Marco. You're the man.
His dad's probably like, you're gonna fuck a lot of girls with them porn star glasses, Marco.
He's like, yeah, Dad, that's right.
He's like, that's right, Dad. I fuck girls. Bye.
Come here and tell your papa about it.
That's my boy. You know what kind of bush they had in the 70s, huh?
It bounds like a champion. So Craig has called him there to help him pick out a nice expensive suit.
And Craig wants advice. I'll call my gay friend.
Call your gay friend. So that's what happens. Calls the gay friend, and because Craig needs to make an impression on Ashley's family. So they are going shopping with a solid gold credit card because Marco wants to know how he's paying for it. And the sky's the limit because you got Joey Jeremiah's Everest bank card. Which hasn't been the last episode. It's called Everest Bank.
Which hasn't been.
Joey's financial situation allows him to have a gold card.
Yeah,
he has like a $500 limit.
Uh-huh. Yep. Also interesting. I guess he wants a nice suit now because he did have a suit. Like the very last 5 minutes of the previous episode, when Craig got the ring to propose, he also put on a suit. So now he's like, I want another suit. I guess.
That one's a JCPenney suit.
And he's talking about getting an expensive suit. Let's see where they go shopping.
You know what I can fuck with? A shopping montage. That's right. That's my speed.
Cool. And set to the soundtrack of Craig's Dad.
Craig's Dad and the Headstones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And It Goes by Craig's Dad and the Headstones.
Which we've heard in previous episodes, I believe, this song. So, yes. I believe we're at the bay, is that? Is that where this is?
It looks like it. Like
the bay or Eaton's, possibly.
The Eaton Center?
Yeah, yeah, like it looks very like department store level shopping. And I mean, I'm not saying that you know, the suits at department stores are shit, but when Craig's like, I really need to up my suit game, it's like,
yeah,
you could have just stuck with the one you had in the last episode if you're just going to go to the bay.
Mm-hmm. Foreign listeners, the bay is kind of the revamped modern version of the Hudson's Bay Company, which is, it's now a department store, but it's, I think, the oldest business in existence in Canada. It originally started as like a fur trade situation, and now it is a department store.
Where you have to pay with pelts. So Craig's like, I want this suit. How many beaver pelts do I owe you?
Yeah. Yeah. There was also Eaton's, which was started by Timothy Eaton, which was also quite old. So at the time that this was filmed, Eaton's was probably still in existence, but it went out of business and since then. So those were very, very, very old Canadian companies.
So you're saying they didn't make bank on selling the cologne that I spied there, Sexual. So they didn't make their billions on that?
Well, they did, but it wasn't enough.
Oh, too bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really great.
The cologne Sexual, hardly knew ye.
As they go through this montage, we have them, Craig and Marco, looking at suits, shoes, and so on. Yes, the cologne Sexual.
Sexual,
pour les hommes, très Sexual. And then my favorite part is that when he's buying all this shit, they have him flashing the credit card. He buys four ties. It's like, dude, like you only need one. And also,
too bad he didn't come out wearing them all. Pretty good.
Also, he does not pay with pelts. He pays with a credit card. But it's still pretty old school because in some cases they have the fucking machine where you put the credit card in it and you like do the imprint.
Click, click.
Yeah. So that was funny.
I call shenanigans on that, by the way.
It feels very, like, even for those times, like, you're not tapping at that point in time, but I believe you're using the debit machine, especially in a department store.
Later, where in the previous episode, or later in this episode, Joey goes to the door to pay with a credit card, and the delivery guy has a machine to take that credit card payment. Mm-hmm. So, like, if they have remote machines at this point in time in 2004, like, I would say that no one is using the swipey thing anymore.
I can't believe we used to do that. Also, paying with checks? Amazing.
Yeah.
Let me just write on this paper. And you have to believe that it's real money.
I promise.
They still, like, do that shit in the States, hey?
Uh-huh. Oh, yes, they do.
They're so behind in terms of, like, the ability to use debit and whatnot. When I visited my husband in San Francisco, I talked to a shop lady about it, and she was just like, well, it's because there's not, like, the demand is too high for the amount of companies that convert your system.
For our American listeners, like, we're not cashless in Canada, but compared to the States, we basically are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
For our Canadian listeners, America is a country below Canada.
Unless you're in Windsor, in which case it's north.
Geographically, yeah. And when it comes to being able to accept debit.
That's called a twofer.
Yeah, like you could wipe us off the face of the earth with your nukes, America, but you still have to pay with fucking ones for candy. So.
Yeah, we can just take our phone and tap it on a machine, and they can bring it right to your door. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. the future is now when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, you still have pennies, aka garbage money. So we end the montage. We have Dylan showing up to meet the lads, to meet Marco and Craigor. Apologize for being late, and Craig proclaims that he's so happy the gays can get married, which lands quite awkwardly. Attaboy, Craig.
It's like, good job, gays.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, yeah. Like...
And Marco and Dylan are just like, oh, this is the problem with fucking straight people.
I thought this was funny because... this is Dylan's only appearance in these two episodes. Like, literally to run up at them all, be like, I'm late. And it's like, the only reason that we wrote you in is so that Craig can make awkward gay marriage jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's busy with college stuff.
We'll see how busy he gets in a few episodes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No spoiler. Ted smiling and nodding politely. No idea. This is the latest episode I've watched. So we see JT and Liberty in the gym, and they're front of the stage. JT hands the lyrics to Liberty with the Radish song. This is so stupid. Like, I really had to watch this. I had to watch this B plot several times because I hated it so much. I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But anyways,
it's like a hate fuck. You had to like hate watch it.
Yeah, it was just much more PG.
I'm so embarrassed when I watch this.
So JT says Radish won't know what hit him because they're really gonna get him, and he gives the bro shake to Liberty. What would you call this? Is this like the clasp of the hands up at a 45 degree angle?
That's a bro shake.
Would you say bro? Yeah, like, because it's not a handshake, it's a, yeah, is there a name to it? I'm just curious.
I know what it is. I've never called it a bro shake, but it's like a version of a high five.
Yeah. Doesn't quite roll off the tongue. Now, does it?
No, it doesn't. No. Hey, listener, if you know what this is called,
call in.
Yeah, narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Please tell us what the bro shake is.
1-800 Narbos and Broomheads.
Yeah, lines are open.
Sorry, your call cannot be completed. Damn it! So it's a meeting of the drama. It's the meeting of the drama club, and we have Nate, who I call blonde guy here because I didn't capture his name.
It's Nate.
He comes out doing a line from the play, and I think he's half loving it. He gets really into it. Go ahead.
You know, if you probably get to make out with Manny at some point. Mm-hmm.
JT says that a Dracula is staked for now.
Mm-hmm.
Waka waka. Good Lord. Okay, so they're doing a song instead. Nate says, oh, I gave up my Saturday for this, so we know it's Saturday. It's a song about Radish. Song to the tune of Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, which is, you couldn't possibly pick a more annoying, irritating song. It's like when somebody sings the Jeopardy song when they're waiting. Like, don't do that. Don't. Please. No, don't. It's so awkward and weird.
It's also like, we want to write this song to really, really stick it to Radish, and this is a really big deal for us, but also we don't want to try.
Yeah, we're kids. We don't want to try.
Yeah.
In their defense, they only had one night.
Uh-huh.
So they bust off a few choice lines to this song, and they all agree they're not doing it.
Including Emma. Emma's like, I don't rebel and do stupid things. Like, the one time in this whole fucking series where Emma's like, I'm going to excuse myself from the situation. Come on.
And I love it that she's one of the last ones, too. She's like, I'm not doing this thong.
I'm totally okay with Radish being a fascist.
Yeah.
What? Ted, you gave Emma a lisp.
Well, I just picture her as having a lisp just with her braces from the first episode.
She's still the same as the first episode.
I thought you were pulling the LD throwback.
Hey, Jay, I'm going to fuck you off in a few episodes.
Oh, no. Don't do it.
You're pretty cute, hey, guys. We're pretty cute.
Emma's Doc Brown. You can't suck Jay's dick in the future.
Don't It's a podcast. It's like a radio show, but not a radio show. It's on the internet. It's a series of tubes. Or something like that. I don't know.
Just like Jay's dick.
I got a tube for you. My pants. Hey.
It'll take you right back to 1984. It's
kidding, it makes no sense. Great. Liberty says Liberty is trying to keep everybody in the gym and saying she is saying that it's a song of protest against tyranny and oppression. Everyone leaves. Alex says it's not worth it getting expelled over. So now Alex, who just dumped paint on a kid who got shot in the dick like a couple episodes ago, is now going, oh, it's a saucy, poorly passive-aggressively lyric song about the principal. We don't want to get expelled. I don't get the where her gauging of events is with this.
It's too bad this song didn't take off as a song about oppression. They could have sung it in downtown Ottawa tonight.
Yeah, they're long-haul truckers.
Trudeau wants me to get vaxxed. That motherfucker is totally whack. I don't know. I mean, honestly, that's better than probably what they're going to come up with. So,
well, they came up with a sign that said this is the modern-day Vimy Ridge. So,
I saw a live stream of a TikTok from some guy doing a speech in front of Parliament Hill with people, and he's like, we're going to fight against slavery.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
Like, it's just like they reach into a bag, like a bingo hall, and like pull out something. And they're like, this is what we're going to fight for.
Yeah. So
what is the temperature in Ottawa tonight anyway?
It's fucking cold. It's like minus 29.
Ouch. That's a real deep, 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 frigid, freezing cold.
Yeah.
Hope they enjoy.
Extreme cold warning. Enjoy.
So Craig is, then we cut to Craig at the hotel. He's in the elevator with a guy in a suit. This was referenced last episode. And Craig is talking his ear off. And for comedic purposes, we just hold on this guy. He has no lines or anything. But Craig is just talking and talking and talking. And this is
basically smiling and nodding.
I mean, this is a good 20 to 30 second elevator ride.
Yeah, so this is like halfway up the CN Tower.
Yeah, which again, in this hotel, we saw a lot more of this hotel in the last episode, but like this is more like a Super 8, Days Inn kind of motel, and not the Days Inn in downtown Toronto, which actually is 20 stories, but this seems like more like a two-story hotel, yet Craig seems to be going up multiple floors. Unless it's a slow elevator. That could be the case, too.
It's like an old freight elevator.
Mm-hmm. Loving an elevator.
This guy does not want to hear it. He's like, ugh. So it gets to Craig's floor. He comes out, and we see hotel staff taking the broken, damaged furniture and fixtures and pictures out of Craig's room. Craig gives one of those, jumps back in the elevator, and says, wrong floor. And this guy, I'm suspecting, in the elevator, is super jazzed that this kid is back in the elevator with him.
Craig also apparently did not think to put the do not disturb sign on the door.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's very plausible.
I mean, within his manic episode, he probably didn't think of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're at Drake's hospital room, and Craig runs in dressed like Michael Jackson from the Moonwalker phase. He got the whole thing. He just doesn't do the lean. But
how did Marco allow this?
This suit?
Marco's getting him back for fucking over the band. He's like, yeah, it looks great, Craig. Go for it.
Yeah, you look like Jimmy fucking Buffett.
I also, like, I kind of take it back now that I said it, because I'm just like, look at Marco's wardrobe, really? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Craig goes in, he wants to know if there's a bathroom, but he skips it. Drake's looking at him going, what?
Well, Drake says he pisses in a bag. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah.
I take twosies in a bag.
Yeah, he's like, that's the bathroom right there, buddy. He points to the bag. Yeah.
My shit bag. You shit bag. He says he would discuss it, but he's eating. And Craig changes.
Jim, we see Jimmy in a wheelchair, by the way.
Is he in a wheelchair? I thought he was still sitting in the bed.
I think he's doing
You would think that's where he takes his meals, but no, he's sitting in a wheelchair.
Oh, cool.
Sitting there eating his meal.
Cool.
So it's just the birth of Wheelchair Jimmy.
I don't know if that's a Funko Pop.
This moment.
Commemorated. So he's talking to Drake, and he's excitedly telling him he's getting married. He's surprised somehow that Drake's not in the mood to hear this, and he's not totally on board. Craig's super fidgety. He can't do up his cuffs of his shirt because he's just fidgeting too much, and he tries to get Drake to do it. And Drake knows something's up, so he's like, "Are you drunk?" And Craig's just all over the place. Just wants him to be happy. I want you to be happy for me. So, yeah.
Yeah, Drake's like, "Are you high?" And he's like, "I love her."
Cool, man.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Going really well.
At the wedding, and the couple is getting married with the officiant who is super Canadian acting royalty, but I don't know her name. Does anybody know the officiant?
Arlo?
I can't believe I didn't look this up.
I thought she was the lady from North of 60, but I don't think she is.
Like, you recognize just seeing her? Because I didn't.
Yeah, just seeing her.
Oh, okay. I didn't recognize her, and I freaking didn't even look it up like a moron.
Not doing your job.
Good job, Arlo.
The person who hosts the episode has some amount of responsibility to look things up. I'm just going to put that out there.
Okay, so Craig and Ashley exchange glances there, and Ashley says elephant shoes across the way. And Craig is exactly like going, "Yes, she said elephant shoes." And she's like, "No, I said I love you." And he's like, "Elephant shoes. Yeah, fuck."
He says, "Yes. Olive juice."
Olive juice. So briny. And the mother, Kate, it's Kate, right?
Yeah.
She intercepts the look and goes, no way.
No elephant shoes here.
No elephant shoes. I'll elephant shoe you in a minute. So with the couple kiss, there's applause. They are now married.
So, hurrah. Interesting thing here. So this is like, I'm trying to remember my timelines. When was gay marriage legalized, like fully in Canada? Like, no bullshit. We can really do it.
It was like 98 or something like that.
Was it? I thought.
We talked about it previously, but I can't remember exactly when. 93?
Gay marriage Canada. It was
early. 2005.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
July.
Well, fuck me then.
So, okay, well. So, I mean, the reason I ask is because I felt like the verbiage of this wedding was a little interesting. Like, he doesn't say, you're married, husband and husband. He just says, "I declare this union of love," and then they kiss. I mean, one thing I will say, like, good on Degrassi to actually have, like, the two guys kiss as opposed to bullshitting around it. But I thought that the language was a little bit weird.
They just hug.
Shake hands. This is how guys marry each other. They do the 45 degree bro handshake. Yeah. Yeah.
Canada was the fourth country to permit same-sex marriages.
We're number four.
We really, like, fourth is our thing, right? Olympics, gay legislation, that's just...
Canada would be like number one in the medal boards at the Olympics if there was a medal for fourth place.
We seriously would. Like, all time.
Yeah.
All time.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. I bet you, by the way, that there is a lot of people in the Ottawa protests who are totally for same-sex marriage. I'm just sure of it, right?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they also supported the Indian protests about their farmers earlier this year.
Yeah.
And all of the Indigenous protests. Where they blockaded railways and stuff. I think all of them were super supportive of those movements.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Take that. You're not long-haul truckers. You're dumbass fuckers.
Wow. They may as well pack up and go home.
The wedder, the one who's in marrying them.
Not Ashley's dad.
Elvira Kurt. She's
Elvira?
Elvira. Oh, yeah. She's an alumni of Second City. She's on the Baroness Von Sketch show.
Nice.
So you might know her from there.
Really? She is
a writer on several shows. Great Canadian Baking Show, Master Chef, Canada's Drag Race. But yeah, you probably just know her maybe from sort of the like comedian circuit.
Cool.
Kind of thing.
I'm really into the comedian circuit.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, like Just for Laughs Festival, the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, that kind of thing. Like, you may have seen her and stuff like that. That's my guess.
Career. What? Back to the gay marriage conversation. What's the status on that in the United States?
It's illegal federally. Remember, they had the White House, like, shone rainbow lights on it when they made it kind of a federal thing. That was during Obama.
Right. Yes. So it is legal?
Surprise, surprise, during Obama, not during George W. Bush or Trump. I know. Crazy.
Shocking.
Yeah. I don't know. It was somewhere between 2008 and 2017. Let's see.
yeah.
It wasn't too long ago. I'm just typing it in here. Expanded from one state to all 50 states. 2015.
Jesus. Of course. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly my point.
What?
Yeah.
So now it's legal in all states?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a federal act now.
So it was legal in certain states for a good period of time. But then when it's federally kind of legalized, then it's everywhere.
It's just like the pot stuff, right? Like, I think the pot issue is still state. Like, it's not
state by state.
We're at Joey's house and the gang is there. They're having a painting party. Snake and Spike are hanging out and their Chinese food arrives. And the guy delivering the Chinese food, there's a moment where he looks so excited to be there. Like, he almost looks at the camera. Yes. Excellent. Perfection.
I was sitting there going, what kind of food did they order? And then I looked at the bag where it said Chinese food. So I actually rewound because I'm like, did I miss that? Like, you know, you could have just put the name of the store, but nope, Chinese food. Why would they bother with pizza? Why don't they have boxes that just say pizza on them?
I guess they really jumped on that branding.
Mm-hmm. Let's order. Yeah. Where should we order the Chinese food from? This place looks good. It's called Chinese food.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
Trademark. TM, TM, TM.
We won?
Mm-hmm.
So Joey goes to pay for the food and can't find his card. Spike offers to pay, and she does.
So Spike and Snake come over, like, to help them fucking paint and, like, redo their house, and they have to pay for the food.
What a kick in the ass this is.
Like, imagine getting somebody to help you move and then being like, mm-hmm. You can pay for the pizza.
You can buy the pizza.
Yeah.
And the guys whose house you just moved, like, pulls his pockets comedically inside out and goes,
What the
Guy who owns the house, like, I'm mighty thirsty.
As we mentioned earlier, by the way, for our American listeners, the reason Joey can't just get cash to pay for the food is we don't have cash in Canada.
Yep.
That's a lie, everybody. Don't take me literally.
I mean, to be fair, I rarely have cash on hand. Like, everything is plastic.
This is also the moment where Joey's like, Craig must have taken the card. And Snake's like, maybe now's the time to talk about how Craig's been a dick in school and acting up.
What a weird thing to say. It was very on the nose. Like, he just said, well, I don't know where it is unless Craig stole it. And you go, yeah, that's exactly what happened. Why'd you think that? You big dummy.
Yeah.
But again, as far as the viewer knows, Snake has witnessed one instance of Craig acting weird.
Mm-hmm.
And like it was weird, but it wasn't weird enough to be like, in my opinion, to flag it as like, your son might be mentally ill.
Well, Snake says, has Craig been okay lately? I'm getting concerned. His dad wasn't the most stable guy. Maybe he's going through something more. And it's like, now? Like, again, yeah. you're not only Joey's son's teacher, but you're Joey's best friend. Now you have this conversation.
And like, if Joey were to be like, what makes you think that? What would he have said? Well, he skipped one class of mine.
He got mad once.
Said something about his butt, and that would be that would be the only like rationale he had to say.
He told me to study his butt.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Your kid's fucked up.
How do you study a butt?
Remember when you walked through the cafeteria for that money, and I looked at your butt? Remember that?
I studied that. Now he's telling bipolar? Me again.
Also. Joey's just blowing it off. He's like, he's just a teenager, and then he's like, nothing that a good grounding won't take care of. It's like, dad of the year.
Good job, dad of the year. That year being 1955. Well done.
Yeah, and again, it's such a waste of an opportunity. Like, obviously, you know, we grew up with Joey being like a rebellious type and seeing how discipline didn't work with him. And then so when the situation presents itself to him when he's in a like an authority position or he just fucking does the same thing that.
Yeah, but he's probably like, eh, I turned out okay. Like,
Joey's like, I'm going to study his butt with my shoe.
I'm going to turn that sumbitch sideways.
Yeah, right. I'm going to make him roll a banana up the wheelchair ramp.
Yeah.
Snake does mention about his dad, his actual Headstone's dad, not being the most stable. And yes, and Joey totally gives him the "I got this" kind of attitude.
Like, fuck you, guy, who's here painting my house and just paid for the Chinese food. Shut the fuck up,
you big dummy.
Yeah,
get out of here.
Like, if I was Snake and Spike, I'd be like, you know what? We're leaving. Like, fuck you.
Right?
Yeah.
100%. 100%.
Phone rings, and it's for Joey. Picks it up. This is Mr. Jeremiah. Damages? My hotel room? How much? And it escalates from there, and I went, well done.
Uh-huh.
Well done, Pat Mastriani. I loved it. It was great. So we have, yeah, so he just found out that the hotel room has been smashed. Back at the wedding. Ashley's mom's giving a speech about her former husband, the father to her daughter. Craig introduces himself, and Craig takes the moment to introduce himself unprompted. And says he's not part of Miss Kerwin's unusual family. Not yet, anyway. I love how this is taking the air out of the room.
Uh-huh.
I kind of enjoy this.
I want to give a shout out to the extra that is pulling all of my focus. She is an elderly woman in a purple muumuu. And she has this giant smile on her face throughout this entire scene. And when Craig stands up and makes his announcement, she continues to smile and clap. And her husband is like, no.
The camera, honey.
It's so good. I love her. She is great.
So Ashley's mom asks if there's a toast coming. Why are you standing up like this? Saying these awkward things. Craig announces that they're getting married. Craig raises a glass and a toast to himself and Ashley. And there's awkward muffled rumblings around the wedding tent.
Well, Ashley sits back down and puts her head in her hands and is like mortified, and Craig doesn't notice.
And Purple Moo Moo Lady is thrilled.
Yeah.
She's loving it. She's like, I'll marry you, Craig.
Nice. I love her.
What a nice boy. Outside the tent, Ashley confronts Craig about the impromptu proposal. He figures since they wanted to be together, why don't they just get married? But Ashley now is having second thoughts. Sally pops out around the corner and sees if she's okay. Like the, hey, hun, you okay? Actually, there's no huns in this two-part episode, so that's a blessing. And Ashley sends him home, even though he's on his knees begging. Craig goes back in. He storms back into the wedding tent, and he talks to the new couple and Ashley's mom. And they want him out. They want him gone, away from them. Craig says, you're going to talk to Ashley and stop seeing me again, but this time she's going to listen, which I don't know. So it's all over the place. Like he's not making much sense. The partner tried that. So very sweaty. This is probably why one of the grooms tried to escort him out, but he slipped because he was so slippery.
Slipped right out of his grasp.
And he fell into a non-gimmick table.
Yeah, that table should have snapped in two, but it does not. It just tips over.
Just Farley style. Just.
Mm-hmm. So Craig moonwalks out of the tent and scene. Uh-huh. This is what I do to make it more entertaining for me. We're on the gym stage with JT and Liberty. Liberty says that the enemy approaches as Radich comes in rocking out the holiday chic.
So
down south with the high up the white socks, loving it.
So this is a Saturday, right? We've established this. So did the students? There was no teacher before Radich came in. So did the students let themselves into the school, and then the rest of the students leave the drama group, and then Liberty and JT are just sitting in the gym by themselves for like what, how long, until Radich shows up?
This is normal.
And he just strolls in.
Yeah.
Like he starts picking up a few chairs. So I don't even know. It looks like he's not even expecting to see them there.
Yeah, it's fucking weird. This whole thing is fucking weird. What's happening here?
I thought the same thing. Like what is happening and why?
Yeah. And this whole scene is fucking dumb.
So dumb.
You know, they want it. Because I wrote next in anticipation, I said, and so then they play their stupid fucking song, which is not what happens. Because JT decides that he's chicken, and so he changes the lyrics and has some fucking story about E.T.
Yep, about the lunch lady and about E.T.
Yeah, the lunch lady.
Some type of weird crossover.
Which is like, that's a story I would tell when I was in the 80s, but like someone in 2003, 4, 5 isn't going to be like, yeah, she meets ET. Like, what? Like, half the people watching this show, if they're kids, are like, the fuck is ET? So I don't know.
It actually took me a little bit to catch on that it was about ET, and the lyrics are like something about walking the hallowed halls alone. How I wish I could dial home.
Yeah.
And that's the second time he sings it that way. And like, it took me a couple listens before I realized it wasn't how I wish I'd die alone. It's like, that's pretty dark. Like, they think that Radish is going to be okay with that, but not the Dracula play. And then it took me a little bit to realize it was supposed to be about E.T. and it was dial home, not die alone.
And of course, this version.
That's kind of a cool play, like a fucking depressed cafeteria worker in Degrassi who, like, as she walks the hallowed halls, she's like, I wish I could die alone.
Yeah, and then, you know, Liberty's pissed because this isn't the words they agree to. But Radich is like, this is rad. Please continue.
Oh, he's loving it.
Yeah.
Radishes. Like, I'm surprised he didn't cut the radish and he has a bucket of popcorn. Just go, la, 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 la.
It's like, what else does E.T. do? Are there M&Ms in it?
Yeah. Yeah. More. Bravo. Bravo. Liberty's not having any of this. She protests and she stands up from the piano. And she starts reciting the poem straight to Radish as she's walking towards him. And it turns into kind of like weird slam poetry. And she's reciting it. A Radish's solution when he's sitting there. That's a paddling. I mean, detention.
Well, give JT detention really for absolutely no reason. There was no indication whatsoever that JT had any hand in Liberty's protest.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He didn't say, oh, I wrote two, like none of those things. But show got a show. I get it. But ultimately, it's unfair that JT got any kind of punishment.
Is it fair that either of them got punished? Like, yeah. I want you to do this extracurricular thing. You had to do this all Friday night, come to school on Saturday for a play that we don't have to fucking do. Like, we could just not do it. And then you do this thing. It's clear that you're pissed with me. And then I'm going to give you detention? Like, it doesn't make sense. Why are they even there? Why are they there?
It follows Radich's trajectory.
Ugh.
Well, what angers me is that it seems like the writers and whoever behind this show put way more effort into the B plot than they did to, like, the actual plot. I just don't get it. That seems to be the case almost every episode that we review. We always come back to this discussion about how the B plot is fucking stupid and makes no sense. And the main plot has not had any, like, storyline until it happened.
I mean, on the bright side with the B plot, like, it might be stupid, but at least it's driving an overarching storyline forward, which is forging a relationship between JT and Liberty. At least it's not completely pointless.
The way that they chose to forge that relationship is questionable. It seems really weird to me.
And then also, this is supposed to be the progression of, yes, the where we're headed to the end of Radish as principal, spoiler alert. And yet, it's like, these are the things that we're going to show the viewers? Like, a kid got shot. Could we not talk about more about how Radich's actions and activity, like whatever, led to that, his reaction to that. Like, we have to have this scene to be like one of the last Radish ones, and that's supposed to show people that he's unraveling. It's like, who fucking cares? Like,
yeah, I think it's supposed to show that he's like trying to sweep what happened under the rug by denying it.
We're back at the wedding, and Ashley is having the ugly cries. And
by herself.
No one is comforting her.
Yeah, nothing.
You gotta lay in your own bed, bitch. Like, we told you about Craig, her mom, her two dads, her fucking aunt. They're just like, fuck you, go cry in the corner alone.
Yeah, they're like, fires. We could comfort you, but the DJ is playing Soul Decision, so.
Oh my god! Yes.
What you gonna do?
I'm gonna feel all right.
Pretend that you're my friend when I'm holding your body tight.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Ashley's outside crying. Oh, they're playing the Cha Cha Slide next. Oh, sorry, girl.
That's actually a realistic thing. Like, your girlfriend's like drunk crying outside, and you're like super willing to console her, but then like your jam comes on, you're like, bye.
They're playing Getting Jiggy with It. I gotta go.
I haven't heard this in years.
Getting Jiggy with It, Arlo? Come on. Oh, this is changing my opinion of you.
She brought her own copy. Arlo brought her own copy of Big Willie Style to the wedding. Can you play this, please? Which track? All the tracks. Yep. But she's not totally alone. Craig is calling from a glass case of emotion, a.k.a. a dirty old phone booth. So he's very helpful. He's also having an ugly cry. Blech.
Let it all out, Craig.
Yeah. He smashes so up the payphone pretty good because he likes to smash things. And Ashley has a very glittery phone that lights up when it rings. So
yeah, a little Nokia jobby.
Yeah.
I'd say 2004 was my first cell phone. Yeah, it was.
Anyways. Yeah, I was just trying to think what my first... I remember getting my first iPhone, and it was, like, the most amazing thing. Like it was, like everybody I showed was, like, oh, my God.
Phone when I was, like, 35. I'm not shitting you.
Oh, my God. And you're 67 now?
67 years old now. I'm 50 years old.
My dad does, well, he used to do, like, you know, he had a metal detector. It was, like, his hobby. He'd just go to the park and find a bunch of, like, old coins and...
I love those people.
...screws and bullshit. And he fucking found an iPhone that was buried. Like, someone must have stolen it and that dug a hole and buried the iPhone. So he brought it to the police and they were like, if no one claims it in 3 months, it's yours. And then 3 months later, the police were like, it disappeared. And he ended up writing to the, or threatening to write to the city councilor, and ended up getting a check and then bought me an iPhone. So
nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like it had like a murder plot on it.
I just love the fact like
it's what important. It was like the mayor. There was like a string of
like
incriminating emails on it or texts on it, and they had to make it disappear.
I don't know if I'm, like, full-on ACAB, but of course it disappeared when it was with the cops. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. We're at Joey's house with just Caitlin and Angie there. No Joey. Caitlin notices when Craig comes in, bursts in, he's all messed up and his fist is all red because I guess he was beating the shit out of the phone booth. And she goes to get a first aid kit. Craig's talking to... Angela, and
crazy talking.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, just babbling. Even though Angela said that Joey's going to be mad, she doesn't say Joey's going to be mad. She says Dad is going to be mad. That would be a power move though, if Angela called him Joey.
You gotta give this to Ashley.
Yeah, he goes upstairs and he gets the ring, and he's like,
"I love you the most."
This is weird. He's like, Angela, get this to Ashley. What? I mean, again, he's not thinking straight, but it's still very strange.
Yeah. So
well, it makes you wonder what his plan is in that moment, right? Like he gives her the ring, tells her that she has to get it to Ashley as though he's not going to be able to get it to her himself. Mm-hmm. And then he tells Ashley that he loves her the most. So, like, are you going somewhere? Are you going to kill yourself? Like, are you killing everyone else? What are we talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, Angela gonna go drive there? What's the plan? Anyways, back at the wedding, the Ashley table, Joey shows up looking for Craig, asked why they trashed the hotel room for $4,000 worth of damage in front of several people, including the mother.
He's like, did you fuck so much that you cost $4,000 in damage in front of her mom? Yeah.
Yeah. Good tact, Joey. So he isn't sure what's going on. Joey isn't sure what's going on and wonders aloud, what is going on with my son / Hugh Dillon from the Headstone's son? Which was weird for him to say. Caitlin and Angie are back at, geez, there's so many scene jumps back and forth. It's not just me. Caitlin and Angie are reading a book at Joey's house in the middle of the day. It's kind of, I mean, you can read books at any time, but it's kind of amongst the ruins, amongst the non-painted living room, which Snake and Spike didn't do a very good job. I think they took off after having to pay for the Chinese food.
I would.
Sucks.
I love that Joey is asking his, like, barely, like, in remission cancer friend to paint his house.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're over it, right? Like, you're good, right?
Don't let me see any holidays on that wall either.
You want to, like, you want to pay my house and also pay for the food that I ordered? Yeah?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Sounds good.
Craig comes downstairs and Caitlin says that he know that he stole the money. He gives her an envelope with $3,000, and Joey's credit card is in there. Joey comes in with the angriest face, and I love it. It's like, I'm sure he's like, get your angry face. Get your angry face. I'm mean. So he comes in very mean, and Craig's going to leave to go back to the wedding. There's a tussle. There's a little dust them up. Angie surprisingly doesn't help by going, no. I figured they would stop right there, but they don't. So amazingly, that doesn't help and doesn't totally remedy the situation. Very surprising. So Craig gets on top of Joey and busts him open the hard way, right in the kisser.
I loved when they were standing off against each other, and I thought to myself, like, okay, in the red corner at like 5'4" is Joey Jeremiah, and in the blue corner at like 6'10" is fucking Craig Manning. Like, he's so much taller than Joey.
It's like the first round of Mike Tyson punch out when you go against Glass Joe.
Yep.
Guess who Glass Joe is? Sorry, Joey.
Yep. And Craig is like fucking Mike Tyson. One punch, you done.
That's right. But he just dodges at random.
Uh-huh.
Ashley bursts into the house. Okay. Craig is overly happy to see her, as he has been. She tells him he needs help, and he looks over at Joey, who's selling really hard. And Angie and Caitlin have come by his side, and they both realize something ain't right. That boy ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also like, I'm obviously not a parent, but like, that must be kind of a terrifying moment, like when
sure.
you realize that your child is big enough to beat the shit out of you. And like, you can't, like, there's something mentally wrong with them and you can't control them.
JT and Liberty are in detention. They're talking about Radich firing them, which was a weird, I had to listen to that again. Like, that was a weird terminology. I didn't know they were hired to do it.
That doesn't exist.
Yeah. Uh-huh. JT compliments Liberty on standing up to Radich, and, yeah, she then says, know what I had, wish I had done, and she leans in for the big old smooch, and it's reciprocated.
Get it, girl?
Yeah, question is, you know, again, at least in the old Degrassi, we would establish the teacher leaving the room with detention so that shit could happen. Here, there's just like, the tension is, you just go in this room with no teachers and sit there, and anything can happen. It's cool.
Just make out.
Yeah.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
I fucking love those books.
To choose smooching, go to page 6. Smoking dope, page 40. Vandalism, page 3. Yeah.
Like, oops, sorry, there's no page 40. Somebody ripped it out and rolled it up as a dude. Bye.
Well, anyways, Liberty and JT together now, I guess. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess a collective shoulder shrug.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut to the hospital, but not Drake's hospital. We're in probably some type of psychiatric ward, definitely with the pastel colors. I say, yeah. He says he can't sleep. He wrote 17 new songs. And he says to, and Ashley, who is there.
So that's going well. Treatment's going well then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Well, maybe the hospital is the same as Degrassi. Like, there's no staff around. Just like, and yeah, whatever.
To be fair, it takes antipsychotics and things like that to, like, take effect. So that's fair.
Mm. So he says he's crazy. He's on meds. He says he's crazy. I'm crazy, Ash. And he says he doesn't know why he's on it, because why he's here, because he says he feels fine. So he's somewhere still in the manic stage. We find out he's been diagnosed with bipolar. Realizing he has a realization that he's going to be managing this for the rest of his life, as somebody, doctor, nurse practitioner, would have told him. Ashley lies on the bed with him and says, it's not over. They hold hands and wake up in the morning feeling kind
feeling
of
shy
lonely.
And lonely.
Yeah, exactly. And that's We're the ready. End. Credits.
Yeah.
Exciting. Let's go. Well, I'll put it to the president of the Voices Carry Part 1 and 2 fan club, Mr. Allen. What did you think of this episode?
It just doesn't, you know, like, I'm glad that we get into this subject. I'm fine with them establishing it being kind of Craig and what he's dealing with. It's just the way that they get there that just doesn't fly for me. It just, it's too sudden for something like this. I just, yep. You know, and again, maybe in reality, you just kind of wake up one day and you're dealing with this stuff and it's like so heavy like this, but on television, I wouldn't mind some lead up. And that's it. I mean, whatever. We'll move on. I still think that overall this has been a good season. So, you know, if this is a low point, then so be it.
Feeling a little bit more forgiving, I think, in these episodes. Like, we're talking about 22 minutes to try to tackle something like
But that's the whole point, right? Is that they have chosen to make it, we only have 22 minutes. Like, they could have used many other 22-minute shows to lead up to this and make it seem a bit more realistic.
Maybe it's the MDMA I took earlier, but I'm feeling pretty loving.
Fine. You know what? Let's just agree, everybody. Best episode ever. And
there you go.
Yeah.
That's why you're the president of Voices Carry Part 1 and 2 fan club. We knew we could believe in you.
I did want to point out that this is the final appearance of Robert Kerwin, Kate Kerwin, and Christopher, now Kerwin, possibly.
From this point onwards, Ashley, no parents. So
no parents. And we hardly knew ye, Ashley's parents, also Toby's parents. Bye bye. I guess maybe Jeff may appear in the future.
Oh fuck!
But yeah, this side of the family wiped out.
Yeah, we'll see you in the future. Hopefully, Jeff, you and your Montreal Jazz Festival shirts, motherfucker. I think he had something like that.
Yeah, but my big question is, did Sally end up fucking, like, somebody from the wedding? Because we did not...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course she did.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like, if you go into a wedding that horny, like, you're fucking. Uh-huh. It's guaranteed.
Yeah. So there you go.
Guaranteed.
She was ratcheted up.
If no one else, then the bartender.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
The bartender like that.
Insult the bartender. My husband is the bartender.
Oh, well, go on.
I'm just saying.
Tell Drew that I'll be his Sally.
You wish. Uh-huh. I didn't like despise these episodes in the same way that Alan did. I'm just, in true parent fashion, I'm just really disappointed. I just feel like any like teen watching this show who might be, you know, struggling with mental health or wondering of these things, like I think the show gives off the wrong message. And I think that's super disappointing. I don't think it did a good job at actually like conveying like the true issues that someone who it might be struggling with their mental health might go through.
I liked it.
The treasurer. I just want the fan club.
Stroke my hair and cuddle me.
I just think watching the original Degrassi, and I know it's very clear we're all biased towards the original, but like they just did it better. Like you could relate more because it wasn't just a one and done episode that you could relate to. Like you saw it leading up to, like you saw the lead up, you saw that it was being woven into the storyline. And I just think that would be more of a incentive to like keep watching if you were struggling with that. I think the new Degrassi tried to do that, but they just keep failing over and over again. Maybe harsh, but I think it's justified.
Well, you heard it first. Degrassi, the next gen, you're in detention. There's no teachers there.
Yeah. You're in detention with Degrassi, the new class. And there are no teachers. You can proceed and fuck. It's okay.
Enjoy yourself.
Right, yeah.
Right there on the desk.
I just wanted to say I really hope like the new HBO Degrassi, who is probably listening to our podcast, takes all of our advice as they are creating the new series.
Yes, I'm sure they will. The hour-long series is going to be totally different.
Okay, so more fucking.
Yes. And more go. More car crashes and kid fatalities. They seem to really like this.
I mean, the good news is about the new Degrassi episode is that like they have Euphoria to compete with. And Euphoria is fucking psychotic. So I think they'll be let off the hook a lot easier than some of these like earlier iterations of Degrassi were.
I'm still like,
but is it just going to be like a show that has like the Degrassi label slapped on it and has
no, it's not.
Like I've found that problem with like take Riverdale, for example. It's just like, well, it's called Riverdale and all of the characters have the same like names like Archie and Veronica, but like, you know, Archie's having an affair with Mrs. Grundy. Like it doesn't really have anything to do whatsoever with Archie comics. And so it's just like, it's a show about random characters where they've slapped the names onto them. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if the new Degrassi is going to be like that, where it holds the Degrassi name, but doesn't really have that much to do with anything to do with the original series.
I'm really hopeful that in the new Degrassi, we'll see a scene where it's like, you know, Spike, Liz, Heather, and Erica sitting at a table. And then Erica's like, you know, Jay has some really funky spunk.
Hey.
So edgy.
Uh-huh.
Don't get me started because I will not stop.
Uh-huh. All right.
We've had a grand time here with you all this evening. I've been Ted, so everyone for you. Instagram machine. Who else is out there? What about that guy in T.O.? That big big rig.
Yes, me and my big That's right. They call me. Call me Big Rig Al. So on all the social medias, follow me, Slip with Five Eyes. On TikTok, follow us at Narbos and Broomheads, where people love us, apparently. It's great. On Twitter, it's at Narbos Podcast, and you can email us narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Courtney.
That's me. I am here. Instagram, courtney.1293. And pretty much.
Narbos and Broomheads Podcast on Instagram, everybody.
Okay, well, you took that over, so I have stopped promoting it.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
Not your well, brand then. Anymore.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm Arlo, the Vag from the Raj, and you can call me here at SEOTT.
You can get some cream for that.
Yep.
All right. We've had a larf. Hope you did too. Trucking and hugging. See you next time.
Peace out.
Freedom.
Well, I just said I don't get my up. I wouldn't do my homework. Would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never get girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe, yes. Just to get to my dreams.